This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وأذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزيه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب. All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is both His servant and His messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, that indeed your Lord creates that which He wills and He chooses. And it is from the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from His power, from His grace, from His glory, that He subhanahu wa ta'ala gets to choose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to place extra blessings in some over others. He places extra blessings in certain people over others. The prophets and the messengers are not like those who are not prophets and messengers. And He puts extra blessings in certain places over others. The holy cities, the sacred cities, are not like those that are not sacred and holy and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the majesty of Allah azza wa jal. If everything were the same, if all the people were the same, who would be our role models? Who would we strive to be similar to? And if all of the places were the same, why would we journey and travel and go through difficulty to arrive at a certain place that is more blessed, to ask Allah and to worship Allah in the place of more blessings? Why would we do that journey and grow spiritually through that journey? And so if everything were the same, why would we strive extra just as we strive extra on the days that are greater than other days? And the Prophet ﷺ, when he introduced the month of Ramadan to his companions, how did he begin discussing it? He said, there has come to you this month. فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. In it is a single night better than a thousand months. And so he began the description of Ramadan by telling them about Laylatul Qadr. As if Laylatul Qadr is the pinnacle of the entire month. It is the heart of the entire month. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he had the opinion that Laylatul Qadr was on the 27th night. But this is only his opinion and the opinion of some of the Sahaba. And while many people have depended upon this opinion, the reality is we don't know for sure which night is the night of Laylatul Qadr. The Prophet ﷺ said, اِلْتَمِزُوهَا فِي الْوِتْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ. Seek it on the odd numbered nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And so it could be any night. And tonight is an odd night. And so it could be tonight as well. And I want you to realize, you know, because we don't know which night it is, and the fact that the night has been obscured from our complete knowledge and certain knowledge, it means that it's something that we have to strive towards, something that we have to pursue and look for. And in order for us to pursue and to look for it, we have to ask ourselves, why is it worthy of our pursuit? Why is it worthy of our effort? What is its meaning? What is its importance? Why do we need to search for this night? And imagine that tonight is this night. What should we be doing today? And how should we feel about this powerful night that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah azza wa jal speak about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we revealed it in Laylat al-Qadr. We revealed it on the night of Qadr. And this is the first hint, the first indication, the first evidence for us to realize how important this night is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Himself for having sent down the Qur'an. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ الْكِتَابَ وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. That all praise belongs to the one who has sent down the book upon his servant. Allah praises himself for sending down the Qur'an. And he praises the Qur'an itself. تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْحَكِيمِ and many other verses as well. These are the wise words of the book, of the scripture. And Allah honored the entire month of Ramadan. Is honored for what reason? Because the Qur'an was revealed in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Qur'an was revealed. If the entire month, the 29 or 30 days of this month, all of these days are honored and blessed because the Qur'an was revealed in it, then what do you think about the one night, the specific night in which the Qur'an was revealed? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. Indeed, we revealed it in an honor, in a blessed night. And so this night and its blessedness has been mentioned in multiple verses in the Qur'an. إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Indeed, we revealed it on لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what can make you know what لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ is? لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ is something unique to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Much of our rituals are not unique to our Ummah. Salah is not unique to us. Other nations used to do salah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to pray salah, Musa alayhi wa sallam said, your people are not going to be able to do this. Why? Because there was a salah on his people. So salah was something other nations had. Fasting is something other nations had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Fasting has been prescribed for you and it had been prescribed for nations before you. Hajj was something introduced by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Even Hajj is not unique to our Ummah. And yet Laylatul Qadr is unique to this Ummah. Why is it unique to this Ummah? Because it's related to the Qur'an and the revelation of the Qur'an. And so it is unique to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's mentioned in the hadith in Musnad Ahmad that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried. Why was he worried? He was worried that the deeds of his Ummah would be less. That people in previous Ummahs had longer lives. Allah blessed them with long lives. That some of them lived hundreds and hundreds of years. But that in our Ummah, people had short lives. They lived 60, 50, 60 years or so. So the Prophet ﷺ worried that our good deeds would be less. Our good deeds would be less because we live less. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave him this night, blessed him with Laylatul Qadr to compensate the Ummah with extra time. And that this is the essence of blessing, that in one night your deeds are multiplied as if it's been, you know, longer than 80 plus years, longer than an entire lifetime. And if the person were to witness multiple Laylatul Qadrs, it's as if they've lived multiple lifetimes of that they've done these good deeds in them. إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ. Allah says, we sent it in a blessed night, a night of barakah. And barakah is where the good of it lasts for a long time. So the good of our deeds in this night, they last for a long time as if they last entire lifetimes. Why is it called Laylatul Qadr? Qadr, the word Qadr has multiple meanings. The night of Qadr. What is Qadr? Qadr can mean value. ذُو شَأْنٍ عَظِيمٍ. Something of great respect, of great value, of great significance. And so the night of Laylatul Qadr is of great value. It is a valuable night. It is not equal to other nights. It is worth far more than other nights. And so its qadr, its value is far more than the other nights. And from this, the scholars, they mention, is the night itself valuable, or is it the person who worships in it that is valued? And the truth is both is true. The night itself is full of value, and the one who worships in it is full of blessings and value and respect. And qadr as well can mean strength. Qadr can mean power, can mean strength. And so it's called Laylatul Qadr because of its tremendous power. It is more powerful than all the other nights. Qadr also can mean your decree, things that have been decreed, something that has been decreed for it. And Laylatul Qadr is related to our predestination. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks about Laylatul Qadr, He says, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. In it, all the decisions have been decided. All the decisions have been decided on that day. And so on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces to the angels the annual decrees. The decree that such and such a person will you know, have more money this year. Such and such a person will achieve more. Such and such a person will be afflicted with a difficulty, with a hardship, with a tragedy. Such and such a person will overcome a difficulty or a hardship or a tragedy. That these orders are now given to the angels on this day. The decisions are decided. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلَّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. All of the decisions are made on this night. And so if this is the night that our fate is in the balance, imagine things are being decided at that moment. You're going to get this promotion or you're not. You're going to pass this course or you're not. The decision is about to be made. Isn't this your opportunity, your last effort to try to influence the decision, to say, please, please, please think of me. Please give me. And so you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this day and you ask Him for His blessings on the day when the blessings are being distributed and decided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What can make you know what Laylatul Qadr is? Meaning, how can you understand it? Meaning, it is too difficult for your mind to completely understand what this night is. Because it is too powerful. Because it is too blessed. Because the rewards are so significant. Our minds are too feeble and too small and too limited that they are unable to understand the power behind the night. No matter how much I explain it, I myself cannot fully understand it, let alone explain it completely. Right? None of us can actually fully understand it because we are human beings. So Allah asks this rhetorical question, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. What can make you know? You can't know. It's a rhetorical question. We cannot fully understand it. We can understand a little bit of it. We can understand some aspects of it. We can be given some parables that give us some conceptualization of it. But we will never fully conceptualize it because it's beyond our limited human understandings. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives you a parable, gives you an example that can maybe spark some understanding of what this night actually means. That He says, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr. That the night of decree, the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, is better than 1,000 months. It's not equal to 1,000 months. Rather, it is better than 1,000 months. Imagine the people who strive to go for Hajj, who strive to go for Umrah, because there are more rewards when they perform these actions. And it's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you can't go there, if you can't go anywhere, here Allah azza wa jalla has brought the rewards to you on this night. They have been given to you. And you know, the greatest greed that all of us have in our life is to live longer. You know, if any of us had a wish, probably we would want to wish, you know, wish for immortality, to live as long as we can. The wealthiest man in the world on his deathbed would give up all of his money to live just even an extra hour. And so what caused our father Adam alayhi salam to be seduced by shaitan, by Iblis, when he said, tells him, if you eat from the tree, you will live forever. And this is, you know, deep in the hearts of all the children of Adam, this desire to live forever. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you this gift, the gift of being productive as if you've had a longer life. That in one night you can accomplish more than the average lifetime. Even the most righteous people amongst us, if you remove the time they spend sleeping, the time they spend driving, the time they spend, you know, taking care of their kids, how much is the most righteous person spending in their worship? You know, of the 24 hours a day, there's going to be day, you know, hours removed for working, hours removed for sleeping, hours removed for all the other things we do in our life. How much hours are they actually spending in worship? Right? And so our time in our lifetime is actually very small in terms of our worship. And yet this night, if you worship Allah in it, it's as if you've worshipped Allah for 1,000 months. Not that you've been alive for 1,000 months, but that you've worshipped Allah for 1,000 months. If the person who lives for 83 years, which is 1,000 months, you know, they end up spending 20 years sleeping, or 30 years sleeping, and they spend, you know, 10 years driving, and they spend, you know, 5 years brushing their teeth. Right? So in the end of the day, how much do they spend actually worshipping? Out of those 83 years, if they're so devout, they might only spend 10 years worshipping. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you this one night is as if you spent the entire 83 years worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the very definition of barakah. And notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, He continues to say, Laylatul Qadr. إِنَّ أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Over and over He's repeating this word, لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And it's as if Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to drive home this meaning in our minds. Drive home the point. Remember this night. This night is important. Pay attention to it. Don't forget it. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the angels and the spirit, they descend by the permission of their Lord in this night. And so one of the meanings actually that we forgot about qadr, about what qadr means. Qadr can mean restriction. So Allah talks about فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا. The person whose wealth has become qadr, meaning has been restricted, he doesn't have a lot of money, right? And so some scholars, they say, this is the night of qadr, of restriction. We're being restricted. Why? They say, because the angels are descending in so great a number that there is hardly a place on earth except that there is an angel occupying that space. And one hadith in Musnad Ahmad, he says, الْمَلَائِكَةُ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ عَدَدِ الْحَصَى. That the angels on the night of qadr, on the night of power, are so much, they are more than the number of pebbles that are on earth. And so the angels in this verse, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, they are all coming down. بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ, by the permission of Allah. They are asking Allah for permission. They're saying, oh Allah, please let us come down to earth. Now think about that. The angels who are al-muqarrabin, who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are in the heavens, who are far away from this dunya and the sins that exist in this dunya. On this night, they're begging Allah permission. Oh Allah, let me come down to this world. Oh Allah, let me be on the earth. It's as if they know the greatest blessings of Allah on that one night are not up in the heavens, but are rather here on earth. And so they're asking permission from Allah, oh Allah, let me be on earth because here's where the blessings are. And we want to be where the blessings are. And think about that for a moment. The angels are asking permission from Allah to come down to earth. Some of us are already here. And yet we're spending the night of power disobeying Allah, neglecting Allah, committing sins, looking to what's haram, rather than worshipping Allah. Whereas the angels are begging Allah for permission to come down to earth in order to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course the angels, they signify the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the light of Allah, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are symbols of these things. And if they're coming down to this earth, it tells us that there's an abundance of the light of Allah, an abundance of the mercy of Allah, an abundance of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says, salamun hiya, that it is of peace. It is a night of peace. If we want peace in your life, this is the night to seek it. This is the night to ask of it. The night where we will be surrounded by angels as we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, حَتَّى تَطْلَعُ الْفَجْرِ, until the emergence of the dawn. And the emergence of the dawn is mentioned in the surah as if to tell us, if you achieve what you should be trying to achieve on this night, you know, when the dawn begins, when the sun rises, and you feel the new day, you really feel a new beginning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, you will have a new beginning in your spiritual life if you achieve finding this night and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night. Now do we understand the power of this night? And imagine this night is tonight. What should we do in it? Aisha radiallahu anha, she asks the Prophet this question. Ya Rasulullah, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَ فَمَاذَا أَقُولُ وَمَاذَا أَفْعَلُ. O Messenger of Allah, if I were to find this night, what should I say and what should I do? And the Prophet ﷺ says, قَالَ قُولِي أَلَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُونَ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَعْفُ عَنِّي. He said, O Aisha, say, O Allah, you are al-afu, and you love afwa, fa'afu anni, so show me afwa. Now what is afwa? It is typically translated as pardon. Afwa is an interesting word, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls himself al-afu in this dua. He is al-afu, he is the one who is the pardoner. And it's different than ghafoor. Ghafoor is forgiveness. You know, we ask Allah typically for forgiveness. Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah, forgive me. And yet in this night and in this dua, we are focusing on a different attribute of Allah. The attribute of His afwa, of His pardon. The word afwa comes from al-mahu. And al-mahu is to erase something. And they would say, and you know, they would talk about, the Arabs would talk about, how the earth would have afwa. And what they meant by that was, if somebody walked through the desert and they left footprints in the desert, then, so you imagine there's footprints, so you can see that somebody was walking. Then a wind were to come and blow the sand over the footprints. What would happen to the footprints? They would be gone. It would be as if the footprints were never there. You would never know a human being walked that area, because the sand covers it in a way that is so naturally concealing, it's as if nobody was there to begin with. And that's what they call af, meaning that it's completely removed the sin. as if the sin never happened. There's no consequence to the sin. Whereas the concept of maghfirah, the concept of forgiveness, when we ask Allah for forgiveness, it comes from, you know, the concept of maghfir. The maghfir was the helmet a soldier would wear. So the concept of forgiveness is you're asking Allah for protection. Right? Like the helmet protects the head of the soldier. You're asking Allah for protection. Why? Because your sins have consequences. And those consequences of your sins will come to haunt you. In this dunya, in the next world, in a way that you may never imagine how it's going to affect you. You know, you may think you did the crime of the century and nobody knew about it. Allah will find a way for the consequences of that sin to come back to haunt you. In this life or in the next life or in both. And so when you're asking Allah for maghfirah, oh Allah, forgive me, you're saying, oh Allah, I know I committed these sins. And I know these sins have evil consequences. If not in this world, then definitely in the next. So oh Allah, give me maghfirah, give me forgiveness, protect me. And cover, the helmet covers. Cover the sin, hide it, and protect me from its evil consequences. But ta'afwa is to say, oh Allah, I don't want the sin to have ever happened. I want it to be gone as if it never were. It is asking a higher level from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're asking for more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even just forgiveness. Subhanallah. And this is an indication of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night. It's as if the Prophet is saying, look, this is a powerful night. And Allah is so generous in this night. You can't only ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is too little to ask for. It's like if you go to a millionaire and you're going to ask him for some money. You don't ask him for $5, you ask him for a lot because $5 is nothing for him. You ask him for more because that person is capable of giving. And so here it's as if the Prophet ﷺ is saying, on this night where the generosity of Allah is so much, you don't ask for just forgiveness. You ask for forgiveness and more. Why do you ask for forgiveness and more? Because of the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you ask Allah azza wa jalla to erase the sins. You know, you ask Allah to make it as though the sin never occurred. And this night is so powerful, we could actually achieve an ask like this even though we are full of sins. And this is a night, inshallah, for us to spend thinking about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thinking about the forgiveness of Allah. Consider the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this man is old in his age, and this man is weak in his bones, and this man's back is crouched, and his eyebrows are covering his eyes, and this elderly man leaning upon a stick comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he stands in front of him. He says, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ رَجُلًا عَمَلَ الذُّنُوبِ كُلَّهَا فَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا. He says, O Messenger of Allah, have you considered the example of a man who committed all of the sins, beginning to end, وَلَمْ يَتْرُكْ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا, and he didn't leave a single sin except that he did them. وَهُوَ فِي ذَلِكَ مَا تَرَكَ حَاجَّةً وَلَا دَاجَّةً إِلَّا أَتَاهَا. He says, and in this case, the man has not left a major evil sin, nor a small hidden sin, except that he went and he did all of them. He says, O Messenger of Allah, he did all of the sins. لَا حَاجَةً وَلَا دَاجَّةً. He did the sin that was needless, there was no need to do it. And he did the sin that was urgent, that he felt a need to do it, he did it. And the sin that there was no need, there was no pressure to do it, he still did it. And he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says to him, what do you say about this man who committed all of these sins, going and coming, big and small? He did all of these sins. And then he tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَوْ قُسِّمَتْ خَطِيئَتُهُ عَلَى أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ لَوَسَعَتْهُ. He says, O Messenger of Allah, if you were to divide his sins against the people of this world, it would overcome them. Meaning, if you were to number the number of people in this world, and you were to number his sins, he would have committed more sins than there are people on earth. He says, if you were to divide his sins, it would overcome all the people on earth. And so he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَيَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَهَلِّي ذَلِكَ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. O Messenger of Allah, can this person attain forgiveness? O Allah, can he repent after he's committed evil and sins and abuse and harm and theft and lies? And the man remains standing. This old man, imagine living years and years. This man with very little wealth to give, with no strength to lend. An old man near the end of his life on his walking stick. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who knows Allah azza wa jal, who knows the afwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, who knows the pardoning power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he asks him, Hal aslamt, have you accepted Allah? Have you submitted yourself to Allah? And the man says, yes. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ, God will forgive you. The man said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَغَدَرَاتِي وَفَجَرَاتِي, O Messenger of Allah, what of my deceiving sins? What of my evil sins? And my shameful sins? And my deceiving sins? وَغَدَرَاتِي وَفَجَرَاتِي, what about my sins where I deceived others and my sins that were so evil and corrupt? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, قَالَ وَغَدَرَاتُكَ وَفَجَرَاتُكَ, he says, غَدَرَاتُكُ فَجَرَاتُكَ, your evil sins and your deceiving sins, all of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Anas radiallahu anhu said, the man turned around to walk away. And as he was walking, all he could say was, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he said, wallahi, we did not stop hearing him say Allahu Akbar until he walked out of the horizon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ, do they not know that Allah is the one who accepts the repentance from His servants? فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ اسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he knew which day was Laylatul Qadr, and he came to inform the Ummah of what day was Laylatul Qadr. But he was unable to remember after he found two people arguing, and he interceded to try to break up that argument. And there's an interesting story that is referenced in the Quran, a different story of when people began to spread rumors about Aisha radiallahu anha, and spreading rumors that she sinned. And of course, Aisha is the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, and she is the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the people who participated in spreading rumors that turned out to be vile and of course untrue was his own cousin, a man by the name of Mistah. And Mistah was a man who, he was a cousin of Abu Bakr, but he was also poor. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to spend money on him, used to give him money. And so when Abu Bakr realized what had happened, of course he was incredibly upset with Mistah, because he's his cousin. And Abu Bakr has been showing him generosity. And despite all of this, he's spreading evil rumors about his daughter. And not only his daughter, but the mother of the believers, Aisha radiallahu anha. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anha felt upset like any of us would feel upset. And he felt angry like any of us would feel angry. And he swore an oath that he would not give Mistah money anymore. That after he had been generous and been giving him and spending on him, due to his poverty, that no longer would he do so after what Mistah did to his family. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, وَلَا يَأْتَلِي يَأُولِ الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ, that do not let the people of virtue and wealth amongst you say that they will not give. Allah reprimanded Abu Bakr for saying that he will not give. Who? الْمُهَاجِرُونَ فِي أُولِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, let them not swear an oath that they will not give to those who are their family, those who are poor, and those who have committed, who have performed their hijrah, who have migrated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mistah was all of these three things. He was a relative of Abu Bakr, he was a poor man, and he performed the hijrah from Mecca to Medina. And so Allah tells Abu Bakr in the Quran, do not swear an oath that you're not going to give him. And what's really powerful about this is a couple of things. Number one, Mistah committed a very evil sin, one of the most evil sins, spreading rumors about the mother of the believers. And yet Allah did not cancel the good deed that Mistah did. Because when Allah referred to Mistah, He referred to the fact that he performed hijrah. His good deed was not cancelled because of his evil sins. SubhanAllah, look at the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah's mercy went even more, that He tells Abu Bakr, don't cut him off of your money. Still give him. Yes, he committed an evil sin, but still give him for the sake of Allah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them perform afwa. Let them pardon others. وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. And let them overlook. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Don't you love for Allah to forgive you? We want the forgiveness of Allah. We want the pardon of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In order for us to attain the pardon of Allah azza wa jal, we have to pardon others. To attain the mercy of Allah, we have to show mercy to others. And if you want the pardon of Allah, you need to pardon others. And Allah teaches this to Abu Bakr in this verse. He tells him, pardon him and overlook. Don't you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive and to pardon you? And so just as the Prophet ﷺ lost the memory was taken from him of what night was Laylatul Qadr for what reason? Because two people were fighting and they were not capable of forgiving each other. They were not capable of pardoning each other. And that obscured Laylatul Qadr. And in this is a symbolism for us. If we are holding bitterness towards other, anger towards other, hatred towards other, and we cannot get ourselves to a place of forgiveness and pardon, then we too might obscure ourselves of Laylatul Qadr and not be able to achieve it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to witness this month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be of those who are granted freedom and liberation from the hellfire in this month and on this night.